Okay, there we go. I think we're back in business again. Yay! All right. So today we're talking about the fifth commandment. We're looking at the Ten Commandments, and we're looking at Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 today. And our series is Ten Commandments for today. Now, you know this guy. Maybe you know this guy. His name's Ted Turner. And Ted Turner is really not the sort of Christian that you and I are. As a matter of fact, Ted Turner said something, and let me just quote it to you, what he said. He was talking about the Ten Commandments, and he said, well, in regard to that, he said, they're out of date. And here's what he said. They should be called the Ten Voluntary Initiatives to guide sensitive persons through the new age. Well, sadly to say, Ted Turner, who has been diagnosed with Lewy body dementia at 81 years old, needs to learn a lesson, and he needs to learn it quickly. You see, for people that do not have a relationship with the Lord, I've got something of news for Ted and people like him. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. And the Ten Commandments stand today, just as the day that those tablets were brought down from Mount Sinai. Amen? People come and go, and Ted will come and go, and we'll come and go, but I something find to be very interesting that he's soon to go, and he's going to be carried away in a box just like all the rest of us are burned up into ashes. Here's where we are going. As I told you, we would discuss each week. Last week, some of you remembered, we talked about, Joe remembered, keep the Sabbath day holy. We looked at the fourth commandment. This week, we're looking at the fifth commandment, where we're going to talk about honor your father and your mother. Now, next week, we're going to take a little bit of a break for Father's Day, the week after as well for Independence Day, and then we will come back to commandment six. And just in case one of you don't remember what that is don't kill anybody between now and then, because we've got a lot to talk about. So there's your, I dropped you a clue there, right? Let's look at our text for today, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. I love this commandment. It comes with a promise of a long life, right? That can be a good thing for most of us, unless you just, don't like living. That can be a good thing, a long life. Now, this is kind of a little interesting thing. You know, the Bible gives us a prescription. If you aren't feeling well, the Bible's prescription is take two of these tablets and get right with God, right? So take two of these tablets. It is said that the Bible has thousands of don'ts. And all of these don'ts, what we have are the ability, with all of these don'ts, they help us, they give us the ability to keep the Ten Commandments. All of these others do nots throughout in the Bible. You'll trace it back and you'll find that they point right back. How do we keep the Ten Commandments? Now, as noted last week, if you want to start feeling better about keeping the Sabbath, for example, as we talked about last week, you want to feel better about that, start doing it. You'll start feeling better about doing it if you just start doing it. It's one of those things. It's not a, I'll believe it when I'll see it. It's I'll see it when I believe it, right? We start doing what God says, and suddenly the Holy Spirit's able to come in a little more into our life, and the Holy Spirit, God, a little more in our life. Suddenly we start to feel better about doing the things that we're told to be obedient about to begin with. The fifth commandment is a hinge point in the Ten Commandments. Now, you're probably already aware of this, but the first four commandments point up. This is our vertical alignment to God. They talk about God. And then we get to this fifth commandment, and then all of a sudden we've got this outgoing. We've got this other side of the cross. We've got this horizontal, this outgoing side of things, and these are about people. So once we get our relationship with God, and it's interesting that the first four are with God, and that comes first. Once we get that alignment right, then we're able to get the rest of the alignment right, and that is the alignment that we have with other people. Now, in addition, unless we are good with God, we're not going to be good with other people. And that's so important as we look at this particular commandment today, and we see God's pattern, beginning with Him, and in the lives of the people who are first and foremost, our parents. The first relationship that we have, our mother and our father. Humankind is second in the Ten Commandments. Once we have the upward right, then we begin with the outward. We're looking at our parents, this first relationship. Now, unless a person can grow up to love, respect, to honor, to fear, and this is fear in a good way, not terrified of parents, but fear respecting them. Unless we can learn to respect parents, how are we going to respect others in society? This commandment is so much importance, not only when it was written, but for today. You see, a right society begins in the home. When the home life is a mess, it affects all of society. When the home life is a mess, that mess trickles out. But when the home life is good, when a child is brought up to know God, to have a relationship with Jesus, to honor, to respect, and to learn how to love not only God, his or her parents, but other people, then that trickles into society. That love, that honor, that respect, and all of society, hence, is improved. Before we get going, I want to draw your attention to an interesting word. The word is honor. Now, in our text, in your Bible, this word, if you go back and you're looking at the original Hebrew and you look at it, you're going to see it occurs in this particular sense. This word occurs three times in the Old Testament. Now, if you take the sense of that word and you look at it in the New Testament, you'll see that it occurs 13 times in the New Testament. But here's what's really cool. 11 of those 13 times occur closest to Jesus. They're in the Gospels. This is so important that Jesus and the disciples talked about it frequently. An important word, an important sense particularly of this word, as we see in this fourth commandment. We need a little understanding about this word and about the relationship that Jewish kids, the little Hebrew boys and girls, were expected to have with their parents in order to understand this. See, if you don't have this background, if you don't know what this is talking about, this isn't going to make sense to you. You got to know a little bit of history, a little bit of background, a little bit about how, when this was presented, how the people who first heard these commandments, how they interpreted, how they understood, what they took away, what they knew. We've got to have that in order to understand what God's conveying to us. We have to go back in time, if you will, to hear it and walk in their shoes as they heard it and almost as if we're walking in their shoes. Now, this is a bust. We think it's a bust of the Hebrew historian Josephus. We think that's him. We're not 100% certain, but if it's not him, everyone thinks it's him. So just so you know, that's probably him, but scholars aren't 100% certain, but we think it is. Now, in order to understand the Hebrew culture, I want you to hear what this man, who is really close to the time of Jesus, how he spoke about this relationship, the Jewish parent-child relationship. He said this, "But if it happened that these words and instructions conveyed by them in order to reclaim the man," it's talking about parents and a child, "appear to be useless." So the parents talk to the boy, "appears to be useless, then the offender," the boy or the young man, "renders the law's implacable enemy." So implacable, this is relentless. So they're just going to keep on going. "Enemies to the insolence he has offered his parents, let him therefore," now hear this, "let him therefore be brought forth by these very parents out of the city with a multitude, followed by him, and there let him be stoned." Now this goes way back. Stone him. If the child does not get this, take them out of the city and stone them. Now, this isn't saying the parents don't love them. Now, the lost people, the lost world, they see this and they know this and they say, "Look at those terrible people. How can they believe in a God like that?" They've never studied it. They don't know the story behind it. This is the parent that has done absolutely everything to help this one. But this person, this man, is a terrible, criminal, mean, wicked, awful person, destroying all of society. So what do? Well, they take care of it. They get rid of the infection. They've done everything they could. These parents undoubtedly did everything that they could. The idea is parents must speak words of wisdom into the children. It's the parents' responsibility to, what, train up children in the way they should go? That is their responsibility. But, you know, I think sometimes we put too much stress on saying, you know, everything's the parents' fault. Every problem that we have with young people is the fault of the parents. Now, that may be true to some extent, but it's not always. Sometimes kids are just wicked. Sometimes they are. You see, if a person grows up to be bad, God will be the judge of both the parents and the children. And in some cases, if they break the law, the judge with the gavel down at the courthouse might be a judge too, right? But when parents have done all they can do, at that point, it really isn't their fault. When they've done everything they can do. In a day when parents are blamed for all the problems of the youth, I think we need to remember that. The real judge is God. It's easy for us to blame everything on parents. It's easy for us to have a judgmental attitude about parents and kids. But the truth is, you and I could admit this, I'm not in that home. I'm not in the home with those parents. I'm not in the home with those children. I don't really know what it's like to walk in their shoes. We have a society now where there are single parents all over the place. And the research tells us that single parent homes, that the kids have a lot more difficulty. It just makes sense. When you've got two parents, they can gang up on the kids, right? My mom and my dad had a way to call us in, and my mom has the loudest whistle in the world. And we would hear this whistle a block, or two blocks, or three blocks away. My dad did this thing where he would put his hands together and make like a woo, a sound. We knew his sound, but mom's whistle was really loud. And we'd be out playing ball or something with the other kids, and the whole neighborhood knew mom's whistle. Isn't that your mom's whistle? Yeah, but don't worry about it. It's only the first time. She'd whistle again. Isn't that your mom's whistle? Yeah, but don't worry about it. It's not the third time yet. But the third time came, guess what you did? The only thing that you could do was run home. I whistled three times. Where were you? You knew that sound. I knew that when my mom called, that if I honored her, I would go running. And if I heard my dad's, I didn't always hear dad's, it wasn't as loud, so that's not his fault, it's not my fault, it's just the way it is. But when I heard dad's, I heard mom's, I went running. I want us to run through a list of ways that we can honor parents. Let's take a look at our first point, honor in obedience. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. You know, sometimes I observe parents, and I observe parents, and teachers observe the parents with the kids, and you know, everybody's observing the parents and the kids in these relationship. Sometimes I see parents and they're getting angry with their kids for not being obedient. But here the Bible says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Catch that part after the comma there, for this pleases the Lord. Do parents, do you ever see parents going, oh, my little boy, my little girl is not being obedient and how is being disobedient and how that displeases the Lord and that breaks my heart? No, what often I see is the parents getting angry. The parents are getting angry. But the Bible says this displeases that it pleases the Lord when they're obedient. Shouldn't that be the Christian mindset for child raising? Little Johnny, little Susie, when you obey me, God is happy. Don't you want God to be happy? The Bible says that. That's not manipulation. That's teaching them how to look to God. That's putting God above me as parent. I think that we can all agree that pleasing the Lord is good for us. Do we all agree? Can we all agree? Displeasing the Lord is bad for you. I know you can agree on that because that's bad, right? So pleasing the Lord, therefore, it follows logical sense. This must be a good thing. Do we want our children to be good? Do parents want their children to be good? Yes, that's why they get angry when they're disobedient. But tell them, God is so happy You were good today, little Johnny, little Susie, and you made God happy. I'm happy too, but you made God happy. So wonder the Christian home is a beautiful place. Do you watch, we have something called Up Faith and Family, and we watch, is it Raising the Bates? Is that the, Bringing Up Bates. It's about a family and they're Christian. And I love the way these parents discipline their kids. They just take them in the other room and have the talk. Now, growing up, there's nothing worse than the talk. Mom just beat me with a stick, but don't give me the talk. The stick didn't bother me. Well, it did when I was little. But when I got to be a teenager, I'd just run and laugh. Yeah, go ahead. Whip me all you want, Mom. Just don't say, wait till your father gets home, you know. That wasn't a good thing. But the talk, what a wonderful way. Little Johnny, little Susie, we're going to sit down and we're going to talk. And I love watching the Bates, this Christian home, when they bring their children up to do things like obey the Lord. Disobedience, and this is with children and adults, is not weakness. Disobedience is wickedness. Wickedness. Showing children how to obey is the best example parents can set. Show them how to obey the Lord, keeping the commandments, talking to them about pleasing the Lord. God does more to teach parents when we observe His commandments and show parents how to be godly parents than even the strictest punishment. Children, obey your parents in the Lord because this is right. The Bible doesn't say obey parents only when they are right. No, it says obey parents because this is right. So we have obedience. That's the obvious part of this. Obedience is pretty obvious, part of this commandment. Let's take a look at a few more. Honor and helpfulness. Growing up, my sisters basically had the job of cleaning the inside of the house, washing the dishes, helping mom dust and mop floors and those sort of things. Me, I'm the only boy. I had three sisters. I'm the only boy. My job was taking out the trash and mowing the lawn. But periodically, I just enjoyed taking the weed eater. And when I was young, this will give you an idea how old I am, right? When I was young, the weed eater was kind of a new invention. You guys remember that when that came out? That thing with the string? Wow! Zzz, you plug it in. Now they're gas. And now and then I would even do that. And my parents were pleased. They're happy about that. You know, that looks nice. I helped paint. Maybe I wasn't the best, but I did my best. And I'd help paint. Paint a wall, paint a room, do these things. As a child, you see, my parents taught me to be helpful. Do you remember this proverb? 10:5, the son who gathers during the summer is prudent. The son who sleeps during the harvest is what? Disgraceful. A young person who loves Jesus will honor the Lord by helping parents in the home. As a teenager, one day I expected to grow up. I never expected my mom, when I was young, as an adult, to tell me, "You'll always be a child in my eyes." But she sings this song, "You'll always be a child in my eyes." And I know that no matter how old I get to be, I'll still be her child. I'll still be her son. What does the grown child do? What is the child, and all of us are a child of somebody, what does the grown child do? Well, we continue to help. So long as our parents are alive, we continue to help. And we teach this to each. Jennifer and I will teach this to Ashley. When we get old, you need to be there for us. You need to be there. Our minds might be gone. We need you to be there for us. We continue to help. Jesus talked about aging parents. Matthew 5:15. But you say, whoever tells his father or mother, whatever benefit you might have received from me, it is a gift committed to the temple. Now you remember this story. This guy's not being exactly a good kid. He's saying, hey, I'm not helping my parents out who need this money. I'm putting it in the temple. It's going to make me look good in the community. My parents, yeah, whatever. Well, Jesus had a very stern statement here for him, didn't he? Take care of your parents. In Jesus' time, children were expected to take care of their parents. They didn't have the programs that we do now. And those programs, even while we have them, they're not 100%. Jennifer and I, maybe just me this afternoon, I'm going to visit my mom to help her with a ceiling fan problem. Already committed to it. Why? Because she needs somebody to come do that. Getting a handyman? Well, yeah, maybe, but she wants her son there to do it. I'm going to do it right anyhow. I want some stranger in my mom's house. Right? We take care of them. We take care of our parents, especially as they age. I found this little thing on the internet, and I thought, isn't that interesting? Listen and silent are spelled with the same letters. Listen and silent. I just find that to be kind of cute. See, many of you know my parents. Dad's in a nursing home. Mom feels often quite alone. She calls, and she feels lonely. And I help both of my parents the best way that I can often is just by listening, by being an active listener. Now, I've got a lot going on. And sometimes my mom will call, honey, I know that you're busy. I'm not too busy for my mom. She's probably listening to this recorded message. I am not too busy when my mom calls to take her call. I want to hear what she has to say. I'm not too busy when my dad, he FaceTimes me. I'm not too busy to put down what I'm doing and to have a face-to-face conversation with him. He's in this nursing home. You can't go visit him, but we can see each other. And it means a lot to him. I can tell you that time with my dad and that time with my mom always means more than what I'm doing. We all need help from time to time, just as in the day of Jesus. We can be helpful to parents as they age. We can be helpful to younger people to teach them this lesson. You see, no matter where you are in life, parents alive, parents passed on, this fourth commandment, we're supposed to teach this. We're supposed to pass this along. We're supposed to help others understand this. When we do, the home is better and society is better. Next thing, honor in respectfulness. Obedience and help, great, but what about respect? You remember, what was her name? Just passed away. Aretha. She sang a song about respect, didn't she? Everybody used to go sing her song with her, sing the chorus to her song. I don't remember her spelling the song out. I don't remember anything else, but she spelled the word out. And everybody remembers that song. See, honor is an interesting word. Do you notice how honor and respect are kind of interchangeable? You can use one in place of the other, and they seem to work. Honor your parents. Respect your parents. You can switch them around. Now, look over here in the book of Leviticus. Look at this verse. Leviticus 19:3, each of you is to respect his mother and father. You are to keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Now, I find it particularly interesting that here are these two commandments together in another place, kind of reversed in order, the Sabbath and honor. But God puts those together right there, right next to each other. Here is honor your parents and keep my Sabbath. Two very important things of God. We see that over and over. How important is it for parents and children to have a right relationship? How important is it for Christians and God to have a right relationship? And our God puts these things together, right next to each other, in more than one place. Psalms uses the same Hebrew word for respect in a slightly different way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear. So here we see honor, respect, fear. We see these words put together, but really it means to give reverence. Listen to this proverb. Proverbs 13:17. As for the eye that ridicules a father and despises obedience to the mother, may ravens of the valley pluck it out and young vultures eat it. That's pretty harsh, isn't it? You can't respect your parents, then may your eyeball be plucked out and let the birds eat it. That's pretty rough, isn't it? Obedience, helpfulness, respectfulness. What of thankfulness? Honor in thankfulness. Perhaps you've heard somebody say, have an attitude of gratitude. You've heard that? Have an attitude of gratitude. Think about the number of times a parent rocks a baby to sleep, takes a boy or a girl to a ball game or sporting event or dancing recital or to meet up with a group of friends for a sleepover. Think about the number of bills that parents pay for the doctor's office, for prescription medications, for dental bills. So much. Think about every meal parents make for their kids. So many things for which we can be thankful to our parents. It does not require a wealthy family, or a family with wealth, that might say, for parents to invest what matters most in children. So we've got being thankful. We've got being grateful. We've got honor. We've got respect. Expressing that is part of showing honor. Next, we have honor in needfulness. The know-it-all teenager. Difficult to raise. And I have an amen. I've been the difficult teenager. I remember. You think you know everything. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. I don't care to hear what you have to say. You know, you get the phone call, and what do? You put the phone down. Yeah, right. You go back every now and then. Oh, yeah, I'm listening. You put it down. You know the teenager type. Teenagers full of hormones, full of more wisdom than good sense, don't know how to use it. Oh, my. What is the reason God says we need the advice of our parents? Well, Proverbs tells us this. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and don't reject your mother's teaching. God tells children to trust the advice of their parents. Now, there are kids where this trust has been violated. There are kids who have asked, you know, You've said you'd be there and you wouldn't be there. And there are a lot of hurt kids. We've got to give that. But the Bible does tell us to trust our parents. And in that home where children are raised to know the Lord, where they know that they're loved and they know that they can trust their parents, it's a whole lot easier. I've spoke with teenagers that respect, honor, love, cherish their parents. They have a wonderful relationship, grow up to have a wonderful relationship. And then I've spoke with others that it's just a little bit hectic. It's a little bit hard. It's just not that relationship. But the Bible does tell us, trust the advice. Dad probably didn't need my help when we were building the table and the chairs and the china cabinet. But nonetheless, He had me do a few things. One of those things that my dad had me do was he showed me that the grain of the wood goes one way. And that when you sand the grain of wood, you have to do it like this. You have to do it with the grain. Because you see, if you do it against the grain, when you stain the wood or you varnish it, it doesn't look good. It doesn't feel right. It messes up the grain. Now, my dad probably didn't have to take that time, but he wanted to. And I respected my dad. I took his advice. He knew more than me about wood. And as a result, the table that I have in my lanai and the chairs and a china cabinet, it looks pretty good. And that was back in 1977 when I was just a little gooner. Dad showed me lots of things, and he shared lots of things. One of the things that he shared was how to be friendly. My dad grew up in a time when some of the jazz music was starting to come out, and they might not have been the best to kind of hang around people, those jazz musicians. They were probably close to what we might think of as maybe hippies or hipsters, or back then I guess they were beatniks, right? I don't know, but you know, they were a little bit on the outside of the social circle. My dad had made some friends with some folks, and he got into some jazz and bought some albums of some pretty impressive jazz folks. I took, in one of my junior college, I took a class on jazz, and I found it interesting that the jazz names that in this college course they were mentioning because of my dad, I was already familiar with these names and these types and styles of music. See, Dad bought these albums. And he shared with me how he got to know about these artists by talking to some friends when he was a boy. And so I got to listen to some of these albums. And he taught me so much about being friends with people. And I think it's particularly important today when we turn on the news and we see all of this terrible stuff has to do with racism. I think it's so important that message that my dad gave me growing up, that message on how to be a friend, I think that's so important. I like to think in some ways that people like Dr. King were looking down on my dad saying, yeah, you're teaching your son the right way. My dad had some friends with some African Americans growing up. And I grew up and I had no problem friending African Americans. And I think these lessons, so important. So important. Parents teach us by how they live, what they do, as well as what they say. Obedience, helpfulness, respectfulness, thankfulness, and needfulness. Now on to our last point, honor and lovefulness. We're ending on this one. You see, this is the best, this is the biggest, this one is the one that makes all of the others possible. Lovefulness. When children love parents, obedience, helpfulness, respectfulness, thankfulness, and needfulness all come more easily. Children, honor parents by showing them love. As most often time will have it, children will outlive their parents. Most often, that's the way it happens. Each in the given time, we see our parents to the grave. Funerals are often the last goodbyes. However, that's the goodbye that's not reciprocated. That's the goodbye where your parents can't say, I love you too. And the deceased can no longer respond. Perhaps the best thing that we can do is pass along to another generation this idea to give love to parents who might still be with us. Perhaps the best thing that we can do is to tell people, love while you still can. Love, well, it can be reciprocated. Perhaps a gift of a telephone call, FaceTime, as I do with my dad, a letter or a note, even a post-it note somewhere that says, I love you, perhaps is the best way to show others the way to honor parents, all peoples, and God. Communicate to someone today, just communicate to them, just say, I love you. Find that someone today to say, I love you too. And if possible, let children see you doing it. Actions can teach just as well as words. Amen. Will you bow your heads and your hearts?